Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Have my water. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is so wonderful. Thank you, darling. Amen. He is so, so wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for water. Amen. I can do without a lot of things in life, but not water. Amen. Y'all are so beautiful. Wow. That's why the Bible says that he will beautify the meek with salvation. So if anybody tells you you're ugly, yeah, they're lying to you. That's right, because God has beautified you, and that makes it permanent. All of us. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for having us again. And First Lady, enjoyed some fellowship with y'all today. And amen. God is so good. He is so wonderful. Amen. Amen. I just want to take a text out of the book of Zechariah. Amen. The 12th chapter. Amen. If you will go ahead and put my graphic up. Amen. Y'all can go ahead and be seated. Amen. Amen. Father, anoint my lips and the words that I speak. Let it be with the grace that you've given me to speak your word. Let your anointing flow through this place as it already is, and let your word have a place in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I honestly don't know how this is really going to go. It's just something the Lord spoke to me this morning. Amen. Amen. We should look upon that every day. We should look upon him every day. Remind us the price that he paid for our salvation. Amen. I am going to read from the, amen, the 10th, if I can see, from the 10th verse of Zechariah chapter 12. And I will pour out upon the inhabitants the house of David. O pour it upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Amen. The spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son and shall be in bitterness for him as one is in bitterness for his firstborn. I want to go back to verse 1 in that chapter. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretched forth the heaven and layeth the foundation of the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. The amazing thing about this is God is talking about himself. The Lord is the one that was speaking to the prophet. And the prophet spoke the words that the Lord told him. And the Lord said, they shall look upon me, not someone else, me, whom they have pierced. In the 13th chapter, since it's right there open. But he shall say unto them, he shall say, I am no prophet. I am a husbandman, for man hath taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? And he shall answer, those which I received. Then he shall answer, these which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Amen. If you will, let's turn to the 19th chapter of the book of St. John. Amen. We find here that Jesus, amen, was being crucified. And we know that that Pilate wrote a title, or put a title on the cross, on Jesus' cross. And Pilate wrote a title and put on the cross, the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, and was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. And he actually had said, I am the King. Amen. I am. Throughout the Old Testament, God spoke of himself to the Hebrews, to the Israelites. And they all knew that there was one Lord. Only one. Many times they said, there is no other God but our God. There is no rock like our God. And the Jews only knew one God. They had so many experiences with the Lord. We know if we read, he chose Abraham. He changed the nature of this man, just like he would change our nature. And Abraham was a heathen just like the rest of them. You know, they were just a heathen nation. But the Lord saw in Abraham a heart that he could work with. And he just spoke to him. He said, Abraham, walk with me. And Abraham said, I will walk with you. What about us when Jesus says, walk with me? You say, where? What do you want me to do? Just trust me. Just walk with me. If there's anyone we can trust him. I didn't know what I was going to be going through some years later, but quietly one morning the Lord spoke to me and said, will you trust me? What was I supposed to do? Say, well, wait a minute, let me think about this. I mean, if he's our Lord and he says, will you trust me? He was like, wait a minute. You never lied to me. You never did me wrong. You've always clothed me. You've always fed me. You've never left me. And when I called, you always answered. So how can we say, no, I won't trust you? When our very soul and life depends on our confidence and trust in him. Amen. In Psalms, the 22nd chapter, and verse 16, he said, for dogs have compassed me about, or have circled me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands. Spoken before it ever happened. Again, this is the book of Psalm. David is speaking what God gave him to speak. And David wasn't talking about himself. His feet wasn't pierced. His hands wasn't pierced. This is the Lord saying, they will pierce my hands and my feet. These dogs, these wicked people, have turned on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. These men were supposed to be the teachers of the law. They were supposed to know what was coming, for God has prophesied it so many times. But they turned so corrupt, they corrupted the priesthood to the point that it wasn't even near what God first planned it to be, what the priesthood was. And when Jesus died on the cross, two big hands just reached down and rent that veil in two. That priesthood died right there, but they still tried to carry that on. And we know the Catholic Church still has the priest and all this. They're trying to carry on something that is dead. They're not even doing it like it was written in the Old Testament. So they're false in everything that they do with this. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Lately, I've had several people that came out of that organization that looked me in the face and said it was all a lie. Nothing about it is truth. They've been so delusioned with this that it's unreal. Amen. But they are looking for truth. They are looking for truth. They realize that everything they had believed is not right. And so where do we go? We are the ones who should stand up and be that light. We're the ones who should stand up and speak with them and say, this is the truth. This is the way, and this is the life. Verse 30 of chapter 19, it says, when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldier came and broke the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with him. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they didn't break his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out water, blood and water. And when he saw and bare record, and his record is true, he knoweth that these things he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And another scripture says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. If you're here tonight and you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have not been baptized in his wonderful name, you're going to look upon him. We all are going to look upon the face of the God that was crucified on the cross. The scripture says in St. John, first chapter, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was with God. The scripture says he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But if you look in Genesis, it said the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the deep. But when it came to Jesus, and Jesus hadn't even been born. I mean, we have a denomination that says he was an everlasting son. He was from eternity, and he really was. Only not like they're saying it. Because the flesh was born. The flesh wasn't actually in heaven. When the heavens and earth was created, Jesus was there. But he was the Spirit that created everything. And the only way that he could save humanity, Pastor, was create a sinless blood sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And he did it in such a way that is so easy to understand, because he never uses anything. Jesus never said or did anything or taught anything that was over our heads. He never used Greek. He used things that they understood. So the birth of a child is something that is common to everyone. And he chose that way to come into the world in a way that he could be like us. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, like as we are, but without sin. He came into the world and became human, lived in a human body just like us. He suffered hunger. He suffered pain. He suffered unimaginably of anything we would ever suffer. But he did it for our lives. He did it for the sins of the world. He did it so you and I could be soul winners. Amen. He did it so that we could win the lost, that we could do what he did. Jesus said, these things that I do, you shall do an even greater, because I go to the Father. And I thought about that many times. And when I began to study, and as I told the pastor on God's anointing, I realized that is the power. His anointing does everything. It not only will break a yoke, but it will destroy a yoke. It will destroy anything that has us bound, afflicted, or diseased, whatever it is. The Word of God is not bound. The Apostle Paul said, the Word, I may be bound, but the Word is not bound. Amen. And we were talking about that scripture just recently at the camp out. And Vicky, she said, you know, she was praying about that and thinking about it. And the Lord just opened understanding. The thing that we do, that Jesus said, you shall do greater, is that he never prayed anyone through the Holy Ghost. He gives it. But he has never actually stood and prayed with someone to receive it. Even though he breathed on the apostles and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And then he told Peter, "Whosoever sins you remit, they shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they shall be retained to them." In other words, Peter, if you baptize them, I will forgive their sins. If you do not, I will not. To you, Peter, I give the keys to the kingdom. We have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Through his death, he entered hell and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from the enemy. He destroyed death. He abolished it so that we could be free. If he had not risen from that grave, as many thought he would not, then we would still be living in our sins and no hope at all in any capacity. But this God of heaven said, "I'm coming down. I'm going to visit my people. I'm going to take a people that is called by my name." Amen. And I go, Jesus said, to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. At this moment, I'm going to ask my precious wife to come and close this out. But if you're watching online, remember, God died for your sins. He came to save you and all of us. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I was standing in front of a group of children, as most of you know, for many, many years. I exclusively ministered to children. Camps across our fellowship. One of my favorite places was the Illinois District Campgrounds. Some of you were there. And for 7 years in a row, I ministered to the children on that campgrounds and across our fellowship. And I would always help the children visit Calvary. We are not going to get to heaven without looking upon him who was pierced for us. And I would pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to be on me, to come through my lips, my words. And I would have the children close their eyes and raise their little faces, lift their little hands, and use their voice. I would begin to tell them as they close their eyes that I wanted to get a picture in their mind. Because with your eyes open, you're looking around at everybody else. Or you're seeing that special car your friend brought tonight. Or you're thinking about what you're going to do. And kids are so easily distracted. And so I would have them close their eyes. And I would begin, when they got in that posture of prayer, I would begin to paint a picture in their little minds. And I would say, "Now I want you to remember back at Easter time when you saw the pictures, when you had a play at your church, when you remembered that Jesus hung on a cross and they put big nails in his hands and in his feet. And they took a crown of thorns and they pushed it down really hard on his head and the blood ran down in his eyes. But that was only after they had already beaten him. And beaten him so badly that the Bible says he didn't even look like a man. His visage, the Bible says, his face was so swollen and battered that he did not look like a man. I'm telling you, when I began under the anointing to paint that picture, and I would take those children to the cross, without fail, in every single camp, every single service, I did this. And the Lord convicted me recently of this, of not doing this more often. Because every time I did it, the power of God would begin to fall on those children in their seats. They would begin to weep and cry. Many times, several were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost before I ever delivered the message. Why? Because we have to look upon the one that was pierced. We have to make our way to that cross. And you and I are human. And what happens to humans is I've been through a lot of horrible things, and so have you in life. The longer you live, the more experiences you have. But God created our minds to forget. You forget about the pain that came when you fell and broke your leg. You can no longer relive the pain of childbirth, thank God. You forget that horrible incident that you went through. You forget. Memories dim as time goes on. And the longer you are in the church and you're living for God, there is a good chance that you're going to forget Calvary. You and I have to go back to that cross. Now and again, we have to come to an old-fashioned altar and weep again about the cross that He bore and be reminded why we're doing what we're doing. Why are we even here tonight? Why are we saved and ready to go to heaven? Why do we have this precious gospel? It's all because of the cross. Yeah. Hallelujah. I am so guilty tonight, Brother George, of taking people straight to the book of Acts. I want to get them ready to go. We go to Acts chapter 2, and we read verses 2, 1 through 4, and we set the stage. This is where it happened on the day of Pentecost. And then we skip right over to Acts 2, 38. We briefly say they came up out of that upper room, and they were speaking in tongues. And when they came out of there, there was such joy and tongue talking that the people thought they were drunk. All true. And we pause right there and we skip, I don't know, maybe 17 verses. Skip right over into, and they said, oh, I want that. Can I have that? And there was a preacher. Then Peter said unto them, the shortest sermon ever written. No, we left out 17 verses of Peter's scripture when he said, wait a minute. You want to know why we're coming out of here talking like this? We're not drunk. We're remembering the prophecies of old. We're remembering what David said. David's who's already in the ground and in the grave. We're remembering what was prophesied down through the Old Testament. Our mind has gone back. Our hearts are pricked, and your heart should be pricked because this is the one you just put on the cross. That's what caused them to repent. They repented, the Bible says, because of that sermon that took them eye to eye with the cross. But we live a pretty gospel now. Let's just tell all the pretty parts. I'm as guilty as anyone else. Because we just want people to make heaven. And we want to make it as easy as possible, but it wasn't easy. It cost so much. Oh, yes, it's easy for you and I because the price was paid. But how many times do we think to go back and take another look and remember, remind yourself the price that was paid for your salvation? The Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. And then Peter said, repent. Repent that you just crucified the one who loved you. Repent that you didn't recognize who He was. That was the real message in Acts. Repent. When they repented that day, it wasn't just Jesus, clean out my dirty heart. It was, I'm so sorry, Lord, that you did that. You had to do that for me. Please forgive me, Lord. It was so much more than just a little, I'm sorry. It was being pricked in their hearts that caused them to open up and see Calvary for what it was and see him hanging there on an old rugged tree. Yes, we know he resurrected on the third day, and that's why we are resurrected in newness of life. But we can't skip over the cross. When I was a little girl, there was not one church service that we did not sing about the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. There wasn't one service we didn't sing at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. And we sang it and the tears rolled down our cheeks. But we're living in a desensitized generation. And I saw the shift in children's ministry when I began to talk about the cross one night in service. And a little boy looked up at me and shouted, "Oh yeah, I saw that movie. That was kind of scary. Yeah, that was a movie. Our family watched it one night." Desensitized. Yes, that movie portrayed it the best way it could. But no one could ever make a movie that could really show what happened that day. That even when the Roman centurions that were all gathered around, they had beaten the nails in his hands. They had put the crown of thorns on his head. They were all standing there doing their duties. They had mocked him. They'd spit on him. Any kind of affliction that could be afflicted, they had done it. And even after he was hanging on the cross, they were still mocking. Still mocking him. How hard-hearted could you be? That once somebody is struggling for every breath, heaving up and down on that cross with those wounds tearing with each breath, how hard-hearted could you be to look upon him and make fun? Where's your God now? If you're who you say you are, come down. And I'm paraphrasing. Wow, how could they? Because they'd never really been to Calvary. But one of those Roman centurions, it tells in the Gospels, when the earthquake began to shake, the darkness fell. When these happenings came, when that veil was rent, I don't know exactly the timing, but I know that it says in the Word of God that Roman centurion looked around, perhaps the very one that had nailed him to the tree, I don't know, but one of them that was involved in his crucifixion said, "Oh, surely this is the Son of God." What was he saying? He was saying, "I'm pricked in my heart. I've been to Calvary. I realize now. I realize what I have done." That's what real repentance looks like. And people that don't go to Calvary, they don't ever see the cross. You'll see them fade out because the tongue talking won't last. The baptism in Jesus' name won't do it. They have to visit Calvary. They have to see what Jesus has done. If you're struggling with an addiction tonight, you need a glimpse of the cross. You need to know what bought your pardon. It'll make you not want to sin when you realize what it cost our Savior. Hallelujah. Just to look upon him. We have to make a trip to Calvary. I know this is not a coincidence that this week, and I'm closing if you will come, I got a call from my daughter who lives in South Dakota, Watertown, South Dakota, and they went there to be a part of Next Town Ministries to help plant churches. They left all the family and packed up their things like a missionary. We watched them drive off with the tears rolling down all of our faces. It wasn't very long till God provided housing. God provided jobs. They are actively working for the Lord there. Rachel used to say when she was a little girl, "Mommy, when I grow up, I want to be a preacher, and I want to be a veterinarian, and I want to be a zookeeper." I said, "Well, you better stick to preaching and zookeeping because or veterinarian, because zookeepers shovel stuff all day. You don't want to do that." "I don't care, Mommy." She loved animals. She's an animal whisperer. There's not one animal she won't pick up, touch, love on. She's got so much of Jesus in her. She loves creation. Not everybody's like that. That's special. But she called me this week and she was weeping. And this may not mean anything to anybody else, but I want to tell you what the Lord spoke to me, because I know it's not a coincidence. She was weeping and she said, "Mom, I was in charge of the primates today. They move her from place to place. She gives them their medicines and she feeds them and tends to their cages or their ponds or wherever they're living, their abode. And she was assigned the primates. They don't have large, it's a smaller zoo, they don't have large primates. But there was a mama, an older mama monkey, and her little daughter monkey in one place. And she had given them their food and their vitamins, and she'd swept and cleaned out their cage. And the zookeeper came and said, 'Rachel, we are going to introduce another little monkey into this little family here. And we want you to stay here with us.' And so they did. And when they put that little male monkey in there, that mama decided that she was going to protect her daughter, her little girl. And that mama began to let that little male monkey know, 'You're not dating my daughter.'" Sounds familiar. And in monkey language and monkey body language and everything mama could, she stood in front of her little daughter and she let that male monkey know, you're not dating my daughter." And that male monkey got very furious and very angry very quickly, and it escalated. And before they could get any help, he had attacked that mama monkey, who's very old, and he had absolutely just ripped into her. She was lying unconscious, blood all over the place. Rachel had watched this. They did what they usually do, and they sedated the little male and got him out of there, and they went in and took the mama off on a stretcher, and they took her to the veterinarian hospital. And Rachel had to go along. She stood in the OR while they operated on the monkey, stitched up all kinds of wounds. Said the veterinarian, the surgeon looked up and said, "Be sure you bend your knees. Do you need to leave the room?" She said, No, I'm fine." She said, "Mom, I was just praying and praying and praying." She said, "Mom, it was just so sad." She was unconscious. And at one point, veterinarian looked at the zookeeper and said, "This is really, she's old. This is really bad. So you have a choice to make. We're going to put her down, put her out of her misery, or we're going to try to keep stitching her up and see what we can do." And she said, "Mom, they looked at me." She said, "I was just trying not to cry." And they said, "Well, what would you do?" And she said, I don't know. I'm not a professional, but I would err on the side of, making her comfortable, whatever that looks like." And the veterinarian and the zookeeper decided to stitch her up and see what happened. So this is the part that got me. She said, "Mama, I was really kind of happy they were just going to you know, do comfort measures, stitch her up and wait and see. But she said, I expected them, you know, to put her in a soft bed overnight and watch her overnight, maybe put an IV in with fluids. And I expected all that. And all of a sudden, they were bringing the gurney back in and they were putting her back in the vehicle. And the veterinarian said, well, what you have to do is you have to take her back. She said, well, you mean you've done all you can? She said, yeah, we've done all we can do, but you have to take her back. Because whatever happens, her daughter, Monkey, needs to see. She said, Mom, we took that monkey back unconscious, all stitched up, and laid her on that cold cement floor and left her. Because whatever happened, her little daughter Monkey in the wild would need to see. She's gone. It's over. Or she lives. And I chewed on that all day. I thought about that all day. I couldn't sleep that night. Because the Lord began to deal with me about this very message tonight. Don't just present me after it was all over as some gift and present that I give in a gold packaged heart. But they need to see me. They need to see what I did. Men, women, and even children need to see the price I paid. And so I'm broken up tonight because I'm convicted. I don't think I'll ever preach salvation exactly the same. Because I needed to be remembered. I'm not the little girl that sang about Calvary every service. But I forget, and you forget. And we don't need to just remember it at Easter, on Friday, before Easter. We need to remember all year long. And there are many days that we should wake up thanking the Lord for that price He paid. It's the death, burial, and resurrection. We just want the resurrection. We want the burial too, but mostly we want the Holy Ghost. And then we want baptism. But we forget about the death. This whole flesh has to die. If you're having trouble living for God, it's because you're not dead enough. We're the sacrifice. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Which, after what He did, it's just our reasonable service. But we're not dead enough. And the altar is for death. So from now till Jesus takes us home, there should not be anyone who goes out of here and says, I don't need the altar, I'm already saved. Oh, then you're just living in the resurrection. In the fellowship of His resurrection. But not His suffering. We're supposed to be living both. Would you stand with me? And would you do what your heart tells you right now? There should not be a dry eye in the building as we all walk back by Calvary again. As we rededicate our hearts. You can't be a soul winner without Calvary. Would you come? Men, women, children, would you gather in? Would you bow a knee if you're able? Will you stand and lift your hands if you're not? Would you visit Calvary? Will you ask the Lord to make it fresh again and new? Would you thank Him for the cross right now? Look upon Him. Look upon Him whom they have pierced tonight. Amen.